I was asked to this afternoon and tomorrow afternoon to talk about praise, worship, and what it means, what it entails. And there's an awful lot that we could say, but we won't say it all. We'll try to say some of it, and I trust the Lord will help us. We want to be clear that we understand that praising and worshiping the Lord is not about noise. It's not about the type of music or songs that we sing. It has to be from our hearts. We worship in spirit and in truth. The Father seeketh such. Our worship could be, I guess we would call it, an annoying noise to the Lord if it's not being offered from a life that is holy. And that's why the call to holiness. Even our praising the Lord needs to be holy. It's separate. It's distinct. It's unique. It's not like the world praises one another. It's different. This is from our hearts in response to what it is that He has done for us, what it is that He means to us, who it is that He just is. And so we worship Him. We praise Him. We give Him honor and we give Him glory. And it's not at all the same as, you know, oh, we worship Derek Jeter. Oh, you don't do that here in California. You know, whoever it is, the celebrity, the star, the baseball, basketball player, oh, we give them accolades and praise. It's totally of a different concept altogether. And so I'm not going to ask you, you know, let's all say hallelujah 10 times and praise the Lord 6 and I love you, Jesus 3, and we've praised the Lord. That's just an empty routine, a futility. But the Lord wants to touch our hearts, and when He touches our hearts, it just elicits a response. It elicits praise and adoration and worship. And I've seen that. I've seen it this afternoon while we were here. Nobody had to tell some of you, now's the time to worship and praise the Lord. It was just a response. It's in your heart. It's in your life. And I'm thankful for it. And so I trust that God helps us to, at least from the Scriptures, see and understand what it is that He has for us and why it is that He calls us to praise Him. Tomorrow afternoon, we're going to have a good time. Because I see you like the song. You like the song Chris Tomlin wrote. How great is our God. You like that? Yeah. Tomorrow afternoon, I promise this. Well, I can't promise it. If the DVD doesn't work, then I can't do anything about it. But tomorrow afternoon, you will all have the opportunity to sing that song with whales and with stars. I mean it. Do you know this already? Yeah, you'll have. So don't spill the beans or whatever. But if you do, that's okay too. But tomorrow you have the chance to do that. We'll all join together and sing with the whales. I don't know if any of you have ever sung with whales before. Maybe they sounded like whales, but maybe. But you'll have the chance tomorrow, and it'll be a good thing for you. So keep that till then. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to turn with me to a number of different passages in the Bible. If you don't know by memory Romans 12 verses 1 and 2, you should. But if you don't and you want to turn to Romans 12 verses 1 and 2, we mentioned it this morning a little bit. We talked about it in connection with our being holy and our call to holiness. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual act of worship or your reasonable service. And be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We talked about that this morning. That you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, we're going to leave the holy part behind us, or at least I hope we don't leave it too far behind us, but we want to skip over that right now and just talk about this idea of our whole life being a life of worship. That's your spiritual act of worship, is to give your body, to give your hands, your heart, your mind, your feet, your all, just to give yourself holy, acceptable to God, lay it all down on that altar of sacrifice. That is your reasonable, not unreasonable, not over the top, not for a few fanatical people. That is your reasonable service. And so worship really is everything that we do. Everything that we do before God, everything that we do in our lives should be a life of ceaseless worship and praise to God. We live lives of worship. We don't go to worship on Sunday morning. We just didn't finish our time of worship now. Got that first 30 minutes out of the way. Worship is done. Now we got to listen to this guy for a little while and then we get to jump in the water. That's not the way it goes. When you're jumping in the water, I hope you're jumping in a sense. I hope you understand what I mean. You can do that worshipfully. I mean, I don't know how you would do that, but you could. Everything in my life just wants to lift up Jesus, just wants to glorify Him. You can glorify God on a basketball court, or you can glorify the enemy on a basketball court. Depends on how you play the game and how much you kick and give elbows and pout and dump and grump when the things don't go your way. There is a way that we live our whole lives as ceaseless worship and thanksgiving and praise to our God. And that's what Romans is telling us. That's your spiritual, that's your reasonable spiritual act of worship. So I don't know if you're a loud person or a quiet person. I don't know if you've got a beautiful voice or you've got a lousy voice. I don't care. And the Bible doesn't really seem to care either. Everything about us, everything within us, we want to bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless your holy name. And that's your call and my call and our call. Now, for argument's sake, and just so that, and I'm splitting hairs, and I would like to take this idea of praise out of this whole context of worship and just focus in for the next day and a half on this aspect of praise. It comes under the banner of worship. It's part of our worship. But praise is in response or the expression to who God is and what it is that He has done for us in our lives and in our hearts. That expression that we offer to Him, that we present to Him, that we give to Him is our praise. Now, let's get the negative part out of the way. It's, again, not just coming together and saying and doing, and we've gone through now worship or praise. There's a little bit in the Malachi, and maybe we'll read it. Brother Z is reading from Zechariah and Malachi in these days, and maybe he'll touch on it, maybe he won't. But in Malachi, there's a little section there where the Lord says, you know what, your offerings that you're bringing to me, I don't like them. They're a stench in my nostrils. They were bringing their animal sacrifices. They were burning that animal sacrifice on the altar. And of course, the smoke would arise and go up. And not literally, but figuratively, the Lord would smell that odor of that presented sacrifice. And He wasn't very favorably looking at a lot of what was going on. And so He complains through Malachi. Complains. I don't want to use that word. He talks to the people through Malachi and helps them to understand that what they're offering to Him as their praise, as their worship, as their sacrifice, it's a stench in my nostrils. Why? Because they were giving to God less than their best. Less than their all. They were offering sacrifices on that altar that, well, they would go to their little flock of sheep and they would look around and say, you know, this one's about ready to die. If we leave him till tomorrow, he'll be dead. So let's bring him and give him to the Lord today. We'll use that one to sacrifice. Or they found somebody that was diseased, some animal. That wasn't the kind of sacrifice that was pleasing to God. That wasn't what the Lord was looking for. But that's what they were offering. They were offering it, and the Lord says to them, why don't you give that to your governor? Bring that to your boss at work. Let's see how far that flies with him. Let's see you give that kind of an offering, give that kind of a gift to your professor at school. Let's see if he'll take, she'll take less than the best that you have to offer. We wouldn't think of doing that. Are you kidding me? Give less than my best effort at school, I might not get straight A's. I might not get into graduate school. I might not get my PhD or whatever it is that you're going for. So I wouldn't dare do that. You kidding me? I have to give my best. My A game has to go there to my professor. My A game has to go wherever it's going. And the Lord says, you know, you're giving me the leftovers. You're bending over backwards for everybody and anything else. And so what you're offering to me, oh yeah, it's a sheep, it's a lamb, it's a right kind of an animal offering. But it's really nothing from your heart. It's really nothing that costs you anything. It's really nothing that is, well, thought through and desirous to give me of your best, your all. And so the Lord said, it'd be better that you even just shut the doors. That you don't even come together. That you just, you know, go home. Forget about gathering and offering your half-dead sheep on the altar. I'm not interested in those kind of sacrifices. When we offer our sacrifice to God, our sacrifice of praise, when we offer our thank offerings to God, when we offer to Him, we offer our best. Oh, maybe not the best musical melodic voice that you have, but we offer the best that we have, the best that we are. You might not be able to hold the tune in a bucket. Sing with all your heart. Sing with all your might. Sing praise unto your God. He is worthy to be praised, and He's worthy you bring to Him in praise your A game, your best, and you lay it all on that altar of sacrifice. And that's what pleases God. Don't withhold from Him. Don't sit back in the corner and go, "Oh God, how great." But when you get to class, E equals MC squared. But this is church. Wake me up when He's done. Tell me when it's over. Poke me if I snore. You know, we've got to do better. Well, I'm not saying you do that. I'm sure you don't. But the Lord expects from us, demands from us our best and our all when it comes to our offering praise, the expression of our lives to our God. Let me ask you a couple questions. And I know in the handbook, I just got that little, I was going to say the dumbed-down version of the Big Green Book. That other little one, is that the youth edition? I don't know what that is. But I just looked at it for the first time before the meeting this morning. And I noticed, you know, they asked me to send outlines. I don't know. I'm not a very good outline. I don't have outlines. I make them up as I go along. And then I even had to write Brother Jay. I had to say, "Jason, I sent you the outlines. What did I say? Where are my outlines?" So I have to kind of stick to something. Well, I looked and I guess this outline was the 5 W's of praise. So I had to start thinking now. I've got to come up with 5 W's of praise. I can't even think of 5 W's. My last name is Waldvogel. That was my 5th one, but I don't know how it's going to fit in. But I guess who, why, when, where, what? Well, I don't know that we're going to go through who, why, when, where, what, but we're going to do something similar to that. And if we don't knock out all 5, I think you'll be able, from 3 or 4 that we do get to, you'll be able to fill in the blanks. So if you fill in the blanks, just write down ditto for whatever. It'll probably fit and probably work. But Psalm 103, verse 2. If I were to ask you, I'm asking you, and who is it that is called upon to praise the Lord or to praise God? Who? Okay, I heard everybody. Does anybody have any different answer than everybody? Or everybody? Okay, I hear all things. All things. I guess what you meant when you said everybody, you meant every human being, every person is to praise God. Is that what you meant by everybody? I'm not putting words in your mouth. I mean, don't say yeah if you didn't mean yeah. Okay, and what you meant is you're expanding it from just people to everything. Is that what you're saying? Well, what does the Bible say? That would be a good thing to look at. See, it would be best for me and for we all to put our preconceived ideas and understandings of what it all means and maybe look at what does the Bible say? What does God say? Because as we said this morning, I'm not interested in what they tell me to do, how they tell me to worship and praise. I'm not necessarily interested in what I feel about it. What does the Lord say? What does the Bible say? Who is it that praises the Lord? Well, there are a lot of Bible verses, but here's just one from Psalm 103, verse 22. Praise the Lord, all His works, everywhere in His dominion. Is that what it says? Praise the Lord, all His works, everything in His dominion. Now, what is there that I could think of outside of His dominion? All right, I give up. I can't think of anything. I think pretty much everything is under His dominion. Right, by the way, does that include the beluga whales? Does that include the stars, twinkle, twinkle, little star? It does. Everything in His dominion. Does that include the birds and the trees and the flowers and everything? Yes. What did you say to Satan? One of these days he will. I think he's doing his dead level best right now not to. But one of these days he's going to be brought to his knees just like everybody else. One day every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But you know what I get to do today? I don't have to wait till I'm forced against my will to bow and confess. I get to volitionally, out of free will, because I want to, bow before Him and praise and worship and honor Him. But yes, one day everything will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And this day, today, we're all doing it in different ways. But the birds, you know the little chorus? Some of you, you middle schoolers, wasn't too long ago that you were small. Now you're big. You're with the big people. But you remember you used to sing the birds upon the treetops? You never made it to California, huh? I guess that's an East Coast one. I get my wife to help me. She knows it, but I'm not going to sing the whole song. But it goes like this. I'll sing a little bit of it. The birds upon the treetops sing their song. The angels chant their chorus all day long. The flowers in the garden blend their U-H-U-E. So why shouldn't I, why shouldn't you praise Him too? Now what that just suggests is that the birds, when they go tweet, tweet, whatever they sing, the flowers, when they bloom, the colors, coming here up, whatever we were coming on, 101, every once in a while you'd come through that patch of wildflowers growing and the vivid colors, just all the creation of God. Somehow or other, without voice, because they don't have a voice to use, but they just praise the Lord by the way that they look. All creation, everything in His dominion, praises, gives Him honor, gives Him glory. The heavens declare the glory of God. The earth, the firmament, shows His handiwork. Day unto day unto day, they eloquently utter the glory and the majesty of God. And you see it, and I see it. But we as human beings, as everybody's, have the privilege or not to lend our voice, to lend our lives to praising our God. We really are the only ones, the only created in this dominion that have the choice. The whales and the hippopotamuses and the elephants, and they all have their little part to play, and the birds and the flowers and the lawns and everything else has their part to play, but they just kind of by instinct, by design, that's what we do. We can't help it. It starts getting warm back in New York. It starts getting warm and all of a sudden the trees open up and the green begins to grow and show. And it comes September, October and everything goes back to sleep and the leaves fall off and the trees look like a bunch of dead sticks until and when it's time, it begins to open up again. And that's just the way it goes. And they don't have the choice. But you and I, we're the ones that have the choice. We're the ones that can praise and worship God. Now, again, it's not just what we say. It's not just the words that we use. But it has to be from the heart that He's touched. He's redeemed us. He's taken us out of the miry clay. In the 40th Psalm, the psalmist puts it this way. This poor man cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard him. And what did the Lord do? He went down and reached me out of that miry clay. He took me out of that pit. And He set my feet upon a rock. You sing that song here? Maybe that one's made it to the West Coast. He brought me out of the miry clay. No? Well, you guys don't sing much out here. You know how great is our God, don't you? Tomorrow we're going to sing. Oh, I said that already. There's a song that must be in your hymnal. Maybe not. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on a rock to stay. He put a song in my soul today. A song of praise. Hallelujah. And that's what the psalmist says. He takes me out of the miry clay. He puts my feet upon a rock. He put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto our God. And it is our privilege, it is our privilege to be able to open up our everything to God in praise, in response to what it is that He's done for us in picking us out of the miry clay and setting our feet upon a rock. So who praises the Lord? All of His creation. It says in Psalm 150, what's the last verse in Psalm 150? Did Psalm 150 make it out here to the West Coast?
Yes,
okay. What does it say in the last verse? What? I didn't hear. I mean, I heard bits and pieces. Yeah, let everything that hath breath. Do you have breath?
Yes.
Who here doesn't have breath? Raise your hand. Yes, so far so good. Maybe by the end of the hour, there'll be some that, but right now we're all doing pretty good. Now it doesn't say good breath, bad breath, whatever breath. Let everything that hath breath. Now let me ask you, and I don't need a response because it's just kind of like, duh, of course. Does that include you? Does that include everyone in this room? Of course it does. Do you have breath?
Yes.
Let everything that hath, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. And so when we're trying to answer the who part of it, everything in His domain, everything that He's created is to praise Him. Everything that hath breath is to praise the Lord. In Psalm 145 in verse 10, the psalmist says, all you have made will praise you, O Lord. All you have made will praise you. And then he ends that verse by saying, your saints will extol you. All that hath breath, all that you have made, all under your domain. Who is to praise the Lord? Well, let's let everybody else off the hook and let's just put ourselves on it. You are to praise the Lord. I am to praise the Lord. If I have reason to rejoice, if I have reason to praise Him, if there's anything that He's ever done in my life, and if you don't, then you can praise Him if you can get around to it, because He is God. Well, maybe we should answer the question about why. Why do we praise the Lord? We know who is to praise Him, but why? Does anybody know from the Bible? Anybody think of any Bible verse? Why? Why do I just gave you one from Psalm 40. Because He's lifted me out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, He saved my soul. Is that a reason to praise the Lord? I think it's a really good one. I think it's a reason. What's Psalm 100 say? Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Why? Then He tells you why. For the Lord is good. The Lord is good. Why do you praise the Lord? Because He's good. I mean, we can make a list a mile, well, maybe not a mile long, but pretty long, just from the Bible as to why. But here's a few reasons why. Because He's good. What else does Psalm 100 say? The Lord is good. The Lord is... Anybody got Psalm 100? It's near the end. Verse 5, 4, 5, 6. His what? His mercy. His mercy. Oh, enter in His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His mercy. Does anybody here ever need mercy? Every day. God be merciful. No, God is merciful. And I praise Him this afternoon for His mercy. I'll never be able to stop. And if that's the only reason I had to praise Him, there would be enough in my life to have to just give Him thanks and praise for His mercy. For His mercy. Mercy there was... Did this make it to... Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Oh, for the mercy of God. His mercies, Lamentations 3 says, they are new every morning. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Oh, praise Him. Why? Because He's good. Because He's merciful. And in Psalm 100, He goes on and He ends, in His truth endureth to all generations. He's never going to change. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. And the truth of God is never going to change. What He said 20 years ago, 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago. He's not going to go back on His Word. He's not going to say, oops, I changed my mind about that. I used to be quite merciful, but now I've changed my mind. I'm not going to be quite merciful anymore. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and His truth will never change. Oh, thank God, heaven and earth will pass away, but His Word will not pass away. And so we praise Him. The psalmist says in another place, I praise Him for His Word. For the Bible, for the Word of God that He's given to me. I praise Him for His Word. I praise Him for His love. I praise Him for His mercy. And we can go on and on and on and find other reasons why we're to praise the Lord. Psalm 103. Turn with me to Psalm 103, if you would. There the psalmist, he gives us, again, I don't know, 15 different reasons as to why we should praise the Lord. And I'm not going to camp out on any of them, but just note them as we go through it. He begins the psalm by saying, praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my inmost being. All my inmost being. It starts there. Praise isn't from your larynx, your voice box up and out your mouth. It's not from your head and then through your mouth. It starts right inside your heart. It's a response to the touch of God in your life, in your heart, His love, His mercy, His grace, His goodness, His compassion. Oh, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And don't forget His benefits. And so here comes a list of why it is that we praise the Lord. He forgives all your sins. And again, like I said, and I don't want to belabor it, but I could put a period right there and end the story, and that's enough. He forgives all my sins. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He's forgiven all my iniquities. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with love and compassion. He satisfies your desires with good things. Young people, get that through your head and get it way down into your heart. He satisfies the desires of your heart with good things. And the enemy would like to make you think that he's after making me so dissatisfied. He doesn't want to satisfy any of my desires. He wants to make my life miserable and hard. No, not at all. He wants to satisfy the desires of your heart with good things. He goes on, the psalmist does, he renews your youth like the eagle. He works righteousness and justice for those that are oppressed. The Lord is gracious, verse 8, and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. You know, and you read the rest of it, if you ever are looking for a reason in your life as to why I should praise the Lord, just turn to the 103rd Psalm and start reading. And when you finish it, you'll probably not be able to stop praising the Lord for all that He has done, for all who He is, and all that He wants to accomplish in and through our lives. Would somebody turn to the last verse in the 50th Psalm and read it when you get it? Read it loud. Psalm 50, the last verse.
Whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him orders his conduct aright. I will show the salvation of God.
Okay, very good. Now, what translation is that? Is that ESV? New King James? Anybody, read it in another translation. It's going to be the same thing, I guess, obviously. But anybody have another translation than the New King James?
AMV.
Go ahead, read it.
He who brings an offering of praise and thanksgiving honors and glorifies me, and he who orders his way aright, who prepares the way that I may show him, to him I will demonstrate the salvation of God.
Okay, that's good. Anybody have another translation? Yeah, what do you have back there, Evan? Go ahead, read it. I think that's right. I don't hear what you said, though. But yeah, that was good. He whoso offereth praise, and he orders his conversation aright. Is that what you said? Okay. Anybody else? Yep, go ahead. Okay, interesting. What we're getting at, and if you put it all together, the first part is rather clear and is rather the same in all of your translations. Whoso offereth praise or thank offerings, or I think you said both, thank offerings and praise, glorifies me. And that we know. But here he goes on to say, and that is the way, or that is the course. As you offer thank offerings, that's the way that I show to you my salvation. It's like the open door. As I'm offering thank offerings, as I'm glorifying Him and praising and giving Him the honor, giving Him the glory that's due His name, I, as it were, open the door. That's the way. That's the conversation or manner of living. The Old English word says conversation. That's the manner of living that I'm looking for, that I can then dispense to that individual my salvation. That is the way I show him my salvation. It's as we offer thank offerings. It's as we praise the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but as far as the why do I praise Him? Yeah, because He's good and merciful, and yes, all that is true. But I need all the help I can get. I need the salvation of the Lord. Not just to save me from sin 50 years ago or whenever it was, but I need Him to help me today. I want to be saved by His life Every day I live in that salvation. I live in the victory and the deliverance of Jesus Christ. And one of the things that helps us live that way is to keep that door of thanksgiving open. Keep that door of praising the Lord. Offering thank offerings. Sacrifices. Sacrifices don't come cheap. We alluded to that before. Sacrifices are costly. Sometimes it might not be the thing that you necessarily feel like doing right now. It would be like a sacrifice if I were to praise the Lord right now. Well, you know what? Then now's the time for you to offer a sacrifice of praise. Now's the time for you to praise the Lord. When you don't feel like it, when you do feel like it. When things are going your way, when things aren't going your way. Because that is the way that God manifests to us His deliverance, His victory, His salvation. Could anybody give me anything in the Bible by illustration that would prove that point? I can think of four. I only like one. Anybody? Gene?
Jesus was trying to pass. Well, he said if God just cut this in half, there, it's going to be tapping. Please let it, but he still did. You know, he didn't want to do it.
Okay. I'm thinking even a more specific, illustration or living out the understanding that praise works. God works through praise. Yep. Oh, Jericho. You remember what happened in Jericho. Now, you can go back and forth and we can argue, and I'm not going to argue. Was it the silence? Was it the praise? Well, they were both praise. We'll talk about that in a little while. But yes, they walked around the city of Jericho. And that last time around, what were they commanded to do? Shout. I don't know what they shouted. I don't think it says in the Bible. Maybe they said the hallelujah. Maybe they said, I don't know what they said. His mercy endureth forever. That was one thing that they often said in the Old Testament as they praised the Lord. I don't know how they praised the Lord this time, but they gave a shout. And as they gave a shout, I read in somebody trying to explain what happened there that the decibel level got to a certain pitch and the noise did this and so the walls fell in. Whatever. You got to make up something if you're not going to believe the Bible, and so they do. But those walls, they were running chariot races on top of those walls in some places. Those walls were big. Those walls were thick. No 100, 200,000, 300,000 people could shout those walls down. But in response to a shout of triumph, a shout of victory, a note of praise, he who offers thank offerings glorifies me, and that's the way I show them my salvation. Anybody have any other illustrations or stories from the Bible? Yeah. Okay, they went to worship, it says. Now, everything in our lives, as we started with, is an act of worship. I don't know that they necessarily verbally praised the Lord or expressed their thanksgiving to God, but they certainly worshiped. And they both, me and my boy, are going to come back down from that mountain. We're going to come back down. There was faith expressed. There was a lot of things in that story. But yes, I've been thinking of something even... Well, let me... Yep. Did he? I'm not sure. You may be right. I don't remember that they sang praises first and then he told her to rise. But maybe, we could go through all the stories of the Bible this way, but let me try to rein it in a little bit. I'm thinking of two guys that were forbidden to preach and teach and do anything, and so they got thrown into jail. There we go. Oh, who are those two guys? Paul and Andrew, Paul and Peter. How about Paul and Silas? There we go. There we go. It was on the tip of my tongue. Yeah. Paul and Silas. That's in Acts chapter 16. If you don't believe me, it's there. And Paul and Silas, do you think... Well, no, forget that. Would you feel like, supposing you got hauled off right now, or here they come, and they're going to take you and they're going to put you... First they're going to beat you. Then they're going to put you in stocks. You know what stocks are. I'm not talking about the stock market in New York City. I'm talking about stocks. After getting beaten, and there you are, and now it's midnight. What do you think you'd be doing? Of course, you would be thanking the Lord, right? You'd be praising the Lord. Well, I hope so. And it wouldn't be far-fetched to think that we could possibly even do that. Well, Paul and Silas were there in jail. I don't think Paul nudged Silas and said, hey, you know what? Psalm 50, the last verse says that I don't think they thought about that at all. I think they were just doing what came naturally. And Paul looked at Silas and he said, Silas, listen, you know what we should be doing now? And Silas says, what? Hallelujah! Hallelujah. And by that time, Silas was right there. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, oh. And there they went. And they started to praise the Lord. They started to, it says in the Bible, these are the words, they sang praises to God at midnight. And that's the way Psalm 50 says, that's the way I'm going to show them my salvation. Now, I don't know if they expected, I don't think they said, you know, let's sing, because, you know, when I was young and I sang, we always used to, earthquakes always happen when I sang. I don't think they thought that at all, but they just did what Christian people, godly people do. They just did what just came naturally to them. They just praised the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And so there they were, just praising the Lord at midnight in stocks after being beaten, and they're in jail, and they're praising the Lord. These guys are either nuts, or they're godly, sanctified saints. And I go for the latter. And as they began to praise God, the Lord sent an earthquake. And those jail cells began to open up. And you know what resulted. That very night, the Philippian jailer and his family were saved and baptized. And a church began in the city of Philippi. And the rest is history. How did it start? Where did it begin? It began with two guys who, instead of saying, now, what do we get ourselves into? I don't know. This is terrible. Yeah, it is terrible. I wonder how we're going to get out of it. Forget about it. Let's just praise the Lord. Let's just thank Him, for He is good. I don't see good. I don't see good. I didn't say you had to see it. He is good. He's good, no matter if your circumstances aren't good. He's still good. And He's still merciful. Even if you're looking for His mercy, He's merciful. And His truth endures. So Silas, come on, let's just praise the Lord. And they began to praise the Lord at midnight. Well, just one more. One more from 2 Chronicles chapter 20. A king of Israel. Judah. You know who he was? Remember Jehoshaphat? He got word that an army was coming out against them to fight against them. They were way outnumbered, way outmanned. There was no way they could win that battle. No way. And you know what he did? He got his armies together, his troops together. And who did he put in the front to lead his army into battle? The singers. The singers? I would think you'd put the guys with the pea shooters in the front. That's all they basically had against what they were going against. I'd put the warriors in the front. I'd put the, I don't know what we got to put in the front, but the singers? Oh yeah, yeah. Put the singers in the front and let the singers lead the group into the battle. And as they go, let them sing, His mercy endures forever! His mercy endures forever! And as they began to sing, the Lord sent ambushments against the enemy. And the people of God just, they didn't have to do anything but sing. And as they sang praise to God, well, the enemy discomfited themselves. They fought against themselves. And the Lord won a tremendous victory. Now, that's what God is able to do through praise. Why should I praise the Lord? Because sometimes you need to get out of the tight predicament that you find yourself in. Because you need prison doors to open. Because you need victory in a situation that looks bleak and dark. When the enemy looks like there are 20 of them and one of you. What do you do? I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to run. No, I'm going to praise the Lord. Because God is able by my praise to answer and to win victories and to glorify His great and His mighty name. So, I know, again, we're going to take too long and I'm going to take your swimming time away and I don't want to do that too much. But when do we praise the Lord? All the time. In Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let us offer unto Him the sacrifice of praise to our God continually. Continually. That means as I go to school and I go to work, I got to be offering praise unto my God. Well, all the time throughout the day, yes. Don't let a day go by. Don't let too many hours go by without you giving God thanks and praise. Keeping in touch with Him. Responding to His mercy and His love and His grace throughout that day. Oh, it might be when you're driving in your car. It might be when you're walking down the street. It might be, who knows where it might be. It might be between classes as you're going from this particular room to that. Just, Lord, I thank You that You're with me. Thank You, Lord, for Your goodness. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your grace. I tell you, if we'd learn to praise the Lord and to give Him honor and glory and offer those sacrifices more, I believe it would make a way where He would manifest Himself more greatly to us in our lives. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to our God continually. And then before you say, well, I do that way down in my heart all day long. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. There comes a time where it's got to get out of my heart and it's got to get through my mouth and out of my lips. And I got to verbalize and give thanksgiving to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you do that every place else. So do I. You go to a Dodgers. Anybody go to Dodgers baseball games? You bleed Dodger blue out here. I don't know what color you bleed. You go to a Dodger baseball game. And what's the guy that's always getting into trouble? Flug? Quig? Flug? He's got a funny name. I don't know what it is. He's good. He always gets himself into trouble. But there you are. The bottom of the ninth, two outs. Bottom of the ninth. Yeah, that would be right. Bottom of the ninth, two outs. Game is tied. He's up at bat. There goes the ball over the left center field fence. What do? You look at the person next to you and you go... Nice. That's your response, right? Some of you go nuts. Yeah! And that's the way it goes. Why? Because you're excited about something. And so you offer the fruit of your lips. Oh no, I'm not that kind of person. No, I'm just... And I'm not, no, don't, I'm not demonstrative. You are demonstrative. When something excites you enough, when something's meaningful enough to you, let your mom and dad pull up with your new Porsche for Christmas this year, and I think you're more than... I think maybe you get a little more excited about it than that. Let us therefore offer to God. Well, who's more worthy than God of our praise? Who's done more for you lately than the third or Flug or whatever his name is hitting the ball over the fence? Jesus Christ died on a cross to save you from your sin. His mercies are new every morning. He's good. He's faithful. I mean, come on. He deserves our praise. Let us offer to Him the sacrifice of praise continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. 2 Thessalonians 5. Psalm 71 verse 14 says, I will praise you more and more. How do we praise the Lord? I'm going to close with this because we're going to run out of time. Any of you here that were in the church in Milpitas, when was I there? In February? Anybody there at that meeting, those meetings? Too many of you, because I'm going to repeat myself. And I don't know how many of you remember what I said. That would be a good follow-up question. Anybody remember anything that I said? And I'm not sure about this. I'm not sure about this, and I'm not putting anything in Jason's mind, but maybe because of what was said there, Jason said talk about this here. I don't know. But if that's what was in mind, then I don't feel too bad about repeating myself. Because I'd like to... Now, this isn't a W. I've got to try to figure out how to make a W out of a how. How do we praise the Lord? How is it that we... Wow, that's how we do it. Wow, this is the W. How do we worship? How do we do this? Well, I'm going to try to give you the fast version of this because it'll take too long if we don't. But there are in the Bible, in the Psalms... Well, okay, I'm going to stick to the Psalms primarily. You don't have to. We can spread out from there and we could go to other books in the Old Testament that was written in the Hebrew language. And in Hebrew, there are seven different words for praise. In my Bible, in your Bibles also, they probably translate them, maybe all of them are praise or bless the Lord or hallelujah or something. But they switch and swap kind of at random in their English Bibles. I don't know what the Chinese Bibles say. I don't read Hebrew. But I do know that there are these seven distinct different words for praise in Hebrew. And I believe that they're important for us to understand. Because, you know, how do you praise the Lord? Do you praise the Lord? I'm praising the Lord on my knees. Some people are like this. Some people are like that. Some people are all over the place. Some people are this. Some people are not. What is it? What are they all doing? Are all the people like this and like this? Are they just, you know, emotional and charismatic and way out there and off the charts? Or you know, how do we do this? Well, what does the Bible say? Do you have to have guitars and a drum to praise the Lord? Can you do it with an organ? Can you do it a cappella? No, you need music. What is this idea of praise? I think that there are some biblical answers. And if we would stick to the Bible, we'd be pretty good. So you say, how are you getting 7 words? You say, it all says praise, but you're going to split up. So, well, let me ask you a question. When I say to you candy, what comes to your mind?
Starburst.
M&M's. Sour Patch.
Unhealthy.
Okay. Unhealthy but good. Okay, you get my drift. Here's candy. But you're yelling Starburst, and you're yelling M&M's, and somebody else is yelling, and you, we'll leave you out of this mix. But everybody's got their own idea for what candy. It's all candy. It's not all candy, but it's got different components. I mean, we could do this in a million different ways. Sports. What comes to what do you think when I say sports? What?
Baseball.
Basketball, baseball. Football.
Soccer.
Hockey. Is that what you said? Swim. Okay, healthy. Right, okay, I said it for you. Okay. All right, so you got all these different... That's all sports. But yet, you can break it down into different component parts. Well, I don't know if I dare do this one. Supposing I said to you, Asian. Healthy. No, what did you say? What came to your mind? China, Taiwan,
chopsticks.
Who?
Sushi.
Pandas. Okay, I guess what I was driving at is Hong Kong, Korea, Malaysian, Singapore. Boo, boo, boo. Oh, okay, let's get back to praise. Okay, so when you say praise, yeah, you can break it down. It's all under the heading of praise. Here we go. I'm going to give you 7 words. I don't know how to pronounce them. I know how to spell them because I know how to read and write. But I don't know how to say these things. But I'm going to give you these words, and I want you to think about it. And I want you to think about it in connection with your life. Do I really praise the Lord? I mean, do I praise the Lord? I know what I do. But is that what the Bible says? Do I do what the Bible says? When the Bible says I'm supposed to praise Him because I got breath, do I praise Him with the breath that I have? What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to express it? The first or one of the Hebrew words is the word, it's pronounced, I think, halah or halah. H-A-L-A-H or H-A-L-A-U. And you can Google it. You can just Google 7 words of praise and it'll Hebrew word and it'll probably pop up. But spelled different ways, but it simply means, it's where we get our word in Chinese, hallelujah. I could sing with you last night. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Then you lost me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yeah, whatever it was. But hallelujah. That's where we get that word from. Halah, hallelujah. And that word means to boast or to rave. And this is, I'm just writing down what the lexicon says. To be clamorously foolish. Just to let it go. Just to rave and boast and glory and celebrate God. His love, His mercy, His forgiveness, His compassion, His goodness, His word. Just to be clamorously foolish. My mom, when was the last time I was clamorously foolish? When was the last time I celebrated or raved or boasted and called it praise? Well, I hope it was this afternoon. I hope it'll be throughout the day that we can, hallelujah. Now, the Bible at Psalm 113, verses 1 through 3, when you read the word praise or bless the Lord, that's the word halah. Psalm 150, verse 1, praise the Lord, halah. Psalm 34, verse 2 is the same word. And many, many of the words in the Psalms are halah, praise the Lord. Be clamorously foolish. Rave and boast. Just let it all go. Don't hold back. Our God is worthy of our praise. A second word, it's a verb. It's yada. Yada, yada, yada. Y-A-D-A-H. You know what yada means? To throw out your hands. Extended hands. Now, is that what the Bible says? I thought that was, I thought that's just what a few cuckoo people do. But the Bible says I'm supposed to do that. The Bible says I should do. You mean when I saw people this afternoon and you were doing, you mean you did that because, why did you do that in praise? Maybe you didn't even know. Hey, guess what? Let's yada. And so everybody began to yada. You didn't even know you were yadaing, but you were. You just threw out the extended hand to worship with extended hand, the opposite of the wringing of the hands. It's just to open up your arms and your hands and reach out to God and just thank Him and just be cleansed. You know, hala and yada, you can do it all together. You can hala and yada all at the same time, and you can throw out your hands and worship God and praise the Lord and be clamorously foolish. And the Bible teaches us that we should do that. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 21. Give thanks to the Lord. Yada, that word is. Just raise your hands before God. Throw out your hands before God, because His loving kindness is everlasting. Psalm 63, verse 1. I will lift up my hands, the psalmist says, in your name. Psalm 107, verse 15. I was surprised at this one, but it's the word yada. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wondrous works to the children of men. Oh, that we would... Now, when was the last time? Do I ever yada? No, I'm simply an M&M's kind of a worshiper, a praiser. I don't yada, I just M&M's. Oh, man, I don't just M&M's. I'm with you, too. I'm a Starburst M&M's kind of guy, and I'll even throw in a panda if you have to, and I'll do whatever you want to do, but I'll get it all in there, because it's all good. It's all candy. It's all praise. And praise is comely for those that are upright in heart. A third word is the word todah, T-O-W-D-A-H. And that's also the raising of the hands, but this is a little different. It's not in giving glory, but it's raising of the hands in acceptance or to receive. Now, I don't know if you've ever done that. I have many times. Lord, I need You. Lord, I worship, I praise, I adore You. Sometimes it's just an exuberance and just throwing out your hand before God and just giving Him the glory and the honor. And sometimes it's totally different. It's not yada, it's toda. It's raising the hands to receive. Lord, I need You. I need You. I worship You. I want You. I desire You. And it's all part. Not one part is more important or lifted higher biblically than the other part. It's all part of praise. And I want to be a little well-rounded in my praise. I don't just want to be a nerds kind of a guy. Maybe I am. But I don't want to be. I want to be more diversified. I want to praise the Lord just the way that His Word explains to me and teaches me to praise Him. Fourth one is the word barak, B-A-R-A-K. And that's really, I was going to say, completely different, almost. Barak means to kneel down. To just get down before God and in adoration. In awe. There's nothing, maybe none of this. Maybe no toda, no yada, maybe no hala either, but it's just get down before God and just fall prostrate before Him. That's all part of our praise and our adoration. Psalm 95, verse 6 says, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." In 1 Chronicles 29 again, it says, "Now bless the Lord your God and all the assembly..." Barak, bless the Lord. The whole assembly just got down before God. They just got down on their face before God in praise, in adoration to Him. You know, I would encourage us all to practice. Oh, don't practice getting down and getting up. Don't practice lifting your hands. I think we can all do that without much practice. But I would encourage you, sometimes when we're worshiping the Lord or you're singing it, it would really be okay even for you to yada or tada. Maybe you're just overwhelmed by the presence of God and by His grace and love and mercy in your life, and you don't even want to rave clamorously or be celebratory. You just want to get down on your face and just love and adore Him. There's no right way. There's no wrong way. These are all ways that we can worship and praise our God. The next one is the word zamar, Z-A-M-A-R. Not everybody can do this, I don't think, but zamar is to pluck the strings of an instrument. To make music on an instrument to the Lord. That's praise. And that's not exhibition on talent or a talent on exhibition. That's not just to show off or to But when these guys get up here with their instruments, and this morning with the violin and the keyboard or the bongo or whatever that is. Is that a bongo or whatever you...
Djembe.
A djembe. We can even djembe zamar to the Lord. You can. You can. Or you can just play an instrument, get the right notes out and get the right music out. But you can play this thing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and it'll make all the difference in your life, and it'll make all the difference in that meeting. And God is looking for anointing upon every praise and worship. Every zamar, every barak, every toda, every yad, every halal. Everything is done under the anointing and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It's not just because I feel like yelling or shouting or bowing or up and down. It's not exercise. This is not calisthenics. This is praise. This is holy. It's unique. It's different. It's set apart. It's not. The world has no idea what you're doing. They think you're Lulu. And maybe other people will call you nuts. But what I'm doing and what you're doing is we're giving God praise that He rightfully deserves. And this is His way. Oh, I'm glad it's His way. I'm glad He didn't say you got to walk on your knees three blocks and then you got to kiss toes of rings on people and then you got to lay on this bed and then you got to starve yourself three nights. I'm glad the Lord didn't say it. He said, you know, it's a joyful way. The redeemed of the Lord are going to come back, return. Isaiah 35 says, and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon the head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This is a happy way. It's a rejoicing way. It's a glorious way. It's God's way. And the sooner I learn His ways, the sooner I'll find His salvation more and more. The sooner He'll be able to come into my heart and into my life and displace me so that I, by the grace of God, can live a holy life. And if you play an instrument, you know, it's not wrong to say, Lord, you play. Oh no, it's your talent. And do your best. And don't just, you know, get behind the keyboard and say, okay, Lord, move my fingers. I mean, I could do that too, and I don't know where they'd move to, and I don't know what you'd hear. But Lord, I'm going to do my best. I'm going to take the talent that You've given me. I'm going to hone those skills to the best of my ability. But Lord, without Your anointing, without You, zero, I can do nothing. But Lord, I want my instrument playing. I want a zamar. I want it to be to the praise and to the glory of Your name. And if I had more time, I could tell you stories about people who, one man that I know, just a minister, walked into a room of a dying, sick girl. Parents were godly people, pastors. And they were sorrowful, and I understandably. And he walked into the room where that girl was dying in that bed, and he took out his violin and just began to play the violin. And as he played several songs on the violin, the presence of God just came. Because he wasn't just playing the violin. That was zamar. That was worship and praise through that instrument. And God inhabits those praises. And God, by His Spirit and His presence, came and touched that girl in that bed, and she woke up and got up from that bed, and he put his violin back. He never prayed. He never prayed audibly, at least. Maybe he was praying every time he was playing, but he never laid his hands on her. Well, it has to be this way. You've got to do this. Just offer praise and let God show His salvation. Now, I'm not saying don't pray for the sick. I'm not saying don't pray. I'm not saying that. I hope you don't misunderstand me. But what I am saying is let's learn better this weapon of praise. The weapon of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty through God, and they do pull down strongholds, and praise is a mighty, mighty weapon. Zamar. Just two more. Tehillah. Tehillah. Here's where some of you get off the bus. Tehillah means to sing or to laud, especially singing hymns in the Spirit. To sing or to laud. Now, we like that one, don't we? We're doing the How Great Is Our... That was good. That was nice. And that was part of this Tehillah stuff. To sing or to laud or to praise the Lord. I got a litany of Bible verses. Psalm 22:3. Thou art holy, O thou who are enthroned upon the praises, the Tehillah of Your people. Rejoice for praise. Tehillah is comely for the upright and righteous. Isaiah 61. The garment of Tehillah for the spirit of heaviness. God wants to give us that song in our heart, even praise unto our God. The last one is Shabbach. S-H-A-B-A-C-H. And that means to shout. To address in a loud tone. Did you ever shout? I don't know. I'm not telling you to shout right now and start screaming. I'm not telling you to barrack and get down on your face before God in utter abject silence. But praise to God can be in abject silence or it can be with a shout. And God says, it's all good. It's all right at different times and different ways for different people. But cry out and... Isaiah 12, the last verse. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion. For great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Psalm 47 says, oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Psalm 145, verse 4. One generation shall shout thy works to another and declare thy mighty acts. And so that's the quick tour through these words. But Lord, help me to stop at each station. And help me to eat a whole package of Starbursts. Starbucks would be good too, but Starbursts. Now, what if I said Starbucks? What would you... No, that's later on. Lord, I want M&M's, but I also want caramels. And Lord, I want Skittles. And you know how I like those Hershey Kisses. And you know, I think the Lord maybe would like maybe a little more diversity, maybe for me. Lord, teach me, the psalmist in Psalm 25 said, teach me your ways. Teach me. How do you know these things? How do you even read them in the Bible? How do you know, Lord, I need to be taught. I need to be taught how to shout the praises of God. I need to be taught how to worship in spirit and in truth with uplifted. I need to be taught how to halal and to praise the Lord. I need to be taught how to sing praise unto our God. And so do you need to learn, and we need to learn, and we can grow together. But I would encourage every one of you, let's praise Him more and more. I took my watch off, so I can't tell what time it is, but I did put it here. Oh, it's time for you to swim. But could I just mention one last thing in closing? Now, I don't know if I did this in San Diego, where was I? San Jose? I did it in San Diego. No, I'm not sure or not, and I'm not really prepared to do this, but I'm going to fake it. You know, I don't know how many of you get Valentine's Day cards or send Valentine's Day cards. But there are different kinds you can send or you can give. And one of the kind, you can go to the store. Maybe this is what you do. You go to the store and you look over. You know, by the time some of you go to the store, there's only two left. But maybe you go to the store early enough and you got this whole array of cards, Valentine's Day cards. And there it is. Helen Steiner Rice has written a beautiful poem. Thou art the apple of my eye, the honey of my life, the sugar bee in my plum. Or, you know, all this beautiful stuff by Helen Steiner Rice. And she's got it all written down there. And then you open up the card and you say, it's you that the charm, okay, and all this stuff. And on the back it says, you know, $5.95 or whatever it is on the back. And so there's your card. That's your Valentine's Day card. And you can send that to your wife or to your whoever it might be. You can send that card, and that's a nice card. That's a beautiful card. Then there's another, I guess you'd call them the religious card section. God gave me you when He gave me you. I didn't pick you, God gave me you. You are the one. I'm making this up. I told you it's not really here. God gave me you, and so here you are, and you're in my life. Blessed, he that finds a wife finds a good thing, and I found a really good thing in you. Or something. That's this card, okay? And on the back there, you got, and you can buy this card also. And that's a nice card. And you send that card, and it's a spiritual card. It's nice. And then there's another one you can do. You can get your crayons and your magic markers and your pen. And you could write, dear wife, I don't know where I'd be without you because you're really special to me. And you're the one that I'm happy to be with because you complete my life and you make it worth living. And I love you with all my heart. Thank you for being who you are. You know, and you draw some corny picture in there and then you sign your name and that's just your own thing. And you just put that there. Now, my wife is here, and I could ask her, and I don't know if she might... I hope she gives the right answer. But let me ask all of you. I mean, this Helen Steiner Rice poem is nice, right? You'd like that. And this one here, the religious one, the God gave me you one, that's even specialer maybe, and that's nice. But then here's this little personalized one where you just did it all yourself, and it certainly didn't have the beautiful pictures that these other two did, and you know, the lady didn't get paid, the person who wrote the poem didn't get paid big bucks for writing it, but it was yours from your heart. Now, how many of you, but just by show of hands, think that the number one is the best one? The best one that you'd... Nobody likes number one? Helen Steiner Rice is going to be greatly offended. Some of you... she's a poet. She writes these mushy things. How about number two? How many of you would like that God sent me you and you're the one for me? And you don't like that one either. Maybe you just don't like anything. I don't know. How many of you would like the third one? Would you like that one? Look at that. Most of you would like that one. Which would you like? She'd better like the third one. Yeah, here we are. Now, why am I telling you all this? I'll tell you why I'm telling you this. These are really nice. Somebody else wrote them. They express your sentiment in a way that you couldn't probably express it. It's good. There's nothing wrong with it. It's kind of like what Chris Tomlin does for us. He writes beautiful songs that express what we want to express. And so we sing them, and that's nice. We express that expression of our praise to God. Maybe you're a little older, and maybe you go back to Fanny Crosby or whoever you go back to, but that's nice. But you know, I may be wrong on this, but I believe that really what touches the heart of God is when we make up our own. When we get away from the script and get away even from the music and get away from... That's all good. There's nothing wrong with that. That's the healer. That's okay. That's good. But I think there's a time when we get away from everything else and we just write our own. Ephesians chapter 5 talks about that. We sing and we make melody in our heart to the Lord. We sing spiritual songs. Well, who writes them? No, you do. Well, what do you say? I don't know. What do you say? Maybe your song goes like this. I love you, Jesus. I love you. You know, somebody wrote a song like that. A lot of people have. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because it's a nice song. And when the Lord hears it, I'm not saying He turns a deaf ear. If it's from your heart, that's a good song. Sing it. But I think maybe when the Lord hears you say, Jesus, I love you. I love you, Lord. I think maybe He says, you know, that's not as canned as these are. That one is just from your heart to me. And I appreciate that as much, maybe even more, than the songs that you're bringing that you can sing, that somebody else expresses through them. You sing them and they're good. But why don't you bring me your own Valentine? Why don't you bring me your own expression? Why don't you just holla on me sometime, just out of your heart. Just praise me. Without the music, just praise me. Why? Why? We went over that already. When should I do it? Whenever. Just offer your thanks and your praise and your sacrifices, the fruit of your lips. And so I would encourage you. I would encourage you today to just think about it. Hey, Lord, am I eating all the candy? Am I praising you the way that maybe you deserve or desire me to? Am I not really as rounded as I ought to be? Should I, Lord, teach me how to praise you that would honor and glorify your name? And I'm in the boat with you. I want to learn better how to praise my God. Lord, that's the way that you show us your salvation, and we need to see it. And Lord, may we bring to you the offering and the thanks and praise that would honor and glorify you. Lord, the birds do sing. And all creation somehow or other worship and give you praise and thanks in the different ways that they can express it. Lord, how much more we who you died for, who you gave your life for on the cross, who you saved from the miry clay. How much more should we sing that new song unto our God, unto our King, and give to Him all praise, all glory, all honor, both now and forever. Amen.